Okay. When we talk of downward communication in relation to raising morale, morale is the individual and collective spirit and condition of employees with regard to discipline and confidence, especially with confidence. See, what can really decrease your morale? Maybe you realize that you had chances of a promotion or better opportunities within the organization, but somebody was hired from another organization. So this demotivated you. This reduces your morale. Or if there's a recession and you may have got a whiff or an idea that you may be asked ideally to leave due to recession, then what happens? This again will make you feel demoralized. So ideally, what happens with your confidence? It gets shaken up. Confidence in oneself and in the organization's management is an important factor that affects morale. Raising morale cannot be achieved through single powerful communication. You need continuous communication of right nature and style. Now, if there's a recession, if it is your concern that you might be one of the employees who may be asked to leave, of course, you cannot directly approach the person at top management and question, but you could get together with the people in your group and express your concerns and just talk it over. This also may make you feel a bit relaxed that at least you're able to communicate, share what you feel. See, when we share what we are thinking, especially in situations which ideally can demotivate us, demoralize us, which can shake our confidence, it is best to speak it over. It will make a difference in our thought process, in our ideas, and people who get together and discuss these aspects will definitely feel bonded and will realize that they have one another to fall back on. Information about organization's plans, policies, progress must be circulated in a routine manner. So it's being more systematic and structured. There must be consultations on proposed changes and assurances of job security before any major change is to be implemented. See, technology also. There's so much change as far as technology is concerned. So we need to understand that we need to let people know and let them have the reassurance from us as far as job security is concerned. Though there may be a lot of changes which may take place, but we need to let them know. Downward communication. When you talk of advice, supervisors provide advice on matters related to work or on personal matters, if the relationship permits. Yes. What is your relationship with the person at top management? Say, you've worked for 3 years in an organization. You're then going through your personal stress because you realize that your personal life in terms of your marriage is not going straight. Then you realize that you're due for a promotion and that has not happened either. Then you realize that you have a terminally ill patient at home. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to grapple with all the facts. You're trying to deal with reality. So depending on your relationship with your supervisor, if you're frank enough to discuss, the supervisor can advise you. If the supervisor feels that you have not been focusing since the last few weeks, which otherwise you would, then he would probably think of advising you or probably questioning you, whereby he knows that both of you share a rapport and it is absolutely fine to discuss this kind of information. A supervisor may find it necessary to advise an employee who is troubled and showing signs of anxiety. That's the example I just gave. Advice is effective when it is oral and face-to-face, informal and confidential. Yes. First and foremost, the subordinate must have faith in you that this kind of advice or information is, this kind of information which he's sharing with the supervisor, it is understood that it will be between the two. When you talk of counseling, special kind of organized advice, specialist in psychiatry, that means you talk of specialist in psychiatry, medicine and law advise their clients on matters related to the field of specialization. Companies which are concerned with employee welfare organize counseling centers for their employees. Services of specialists are enrolled for this purpose at fixed interval during the working week. Employees receive free of charge advice on their health, career, and personal problems. I guess these three are prime issues for any individual. Health, of course. Your personal problems definitely influence your professional life. And then ideally you talk of your career. Like I just said, for example, you realize that you've been in the same department since the last 5 years. You ideally want to upgrade. You want to probably work in another department, but it's not going through. So again, how are you dealing with that aspect of your life? When you talk of warning in downward communication, warning means urging someone to be careful. You're giving a hint. But when you're giving the hint, you're making your intentions clear. So for example, if you do not live up to deadlines, it's going to be difficult to assign any more tasks to you. What does this mean in simplest of words? That look, you will not be given any further opportunities in terms of progress. It also means that you will be probably stuck with this work and this department and you won't see career growth. Of course, this is more of a polite way of saying rather than being aggressive or rude. It is intended to caution the employee of possible danger. It is an authoritative or formal notice of something unfavorable. Such warning is a first step in case any disciplinary action is contemplated against an employee. Disciplinary action, whereby the employee, probably we talk of data theft today, right? It happens where data is stolen. It's DATA, which is data and not data. We actually say it as data. So data theft, if that ideally happens, then of course, stringent action can be taken against the employee. Warnings and legal notices are issued after milder methods like advice, request, instruction, or an order to improve the situation which has yielded no results. So you want to improve a situation which ideally has not given any results so far. So maybe advice here, maybe an instruction, or maybe a stringent order. An order, of course, has to be more assertive. But when you say stringent, that means somewhere you're putting it forward very effectively and clearly. So what are the advantages of downward communication? Useful for management, good organization. Useful for management, that means when ideally downward communication takes place, this is a pyramid. They know that the pyramid, if the base is balanced, then everything goes ahead appropriately. So good organization, that means instructions are going in a hierarchical manner. Ways and means to ideally work effectively and better and being organized. Useful for the employees, of course. Superiors are well informed because we talk of hierarchy here, and a sense of belonging. Each one ideally interacts, participates. So it gives a sense of belonging. Now, downward communication. What are the advantages? Useful for management. We just discussed the points. Now let us read through them. Backbone of the organization. When I talk of downward communication, the management finds it useful to communicate necessary official information or plan of work to the employees. Good organization. In downward communication, there's clear cut division of responsibility and accountability. Very systematic in terms of instructions being given, very organized in terms of information being given, very much you can say hierarchical and structured. Discipline, satisfaction, harmony, and cooperation will follow automatically. Downward communication advantages, useful for employees. Downward communication is useful for employees as they are well informed about their work from time to time. It gives them motivation and raises the morale of employees. When you talk of superiors being well informed, we just discussed, it keeps the superiors well informed about the development of the work as communication takes place along well-defined lines, right? We've discussed this. A sense of belonging, or sense of, you can say, belongingness, right? The employees carry a strong feeling of participation in the management of the organization. It's a lot about trust. It's a lot about mutual understanding, which is important. They regard themselves as important employees. Yes, because whatever you put forward is taken to be at face value. That means whatever you put forward is considered appropriate and correct. Then, of course, you know, a lot of discussion takes place. Then there is if this, then that. So all those aspects come into being. What are the disadvantages? When you talk of disadvantages, time consuming, D communicates to C, C to B, B to A, right? Goes along the line of hierarchy, time consuming. Distortion, very much possible. We'll discuss each aspect. Authoritarian approach, over and under communication, different priorities, no confidential matter. We will discuss. Time consuming. Downward communication is time consuming because it moves along the line of command of hierarchy. It results in waste of time as the line of communication is long. Downward communication has to pass through many levels of authority. So there is a delay as well as distortion. This distortion has to take place. It's, I guess, by default. Why? Because by the time the message reaches a person at top management, the way it has reached, chances of a lot of miscommunication, misunderstanding, filtering, where you reduce the details or aspects of message, chances of not wanting to put forward very appropriate ideas by a subordinate, which would give, like if, for example, D is the subordinate and C is his superior, then C would not really put forward all effective ideas put forward by D because of the inferiority complex which he would get since D is far more effective and dynamic. So those aspects need to be looked into. Authoritarian approach in downward communication, there's too much concentration of authority at the higher level, has to be, because you're understanding that this information is going to reach the person at the highest level, as people in the lower levels are merely receivers of decisions. So they unconsciously receive such messages and miscommunication results. No confidential matter in downward communication. Confidential matter cannot be disclosed at lower levels. So I guess if A is the boss or the CEO and B is the immediate supervisor or the immediate subordinate, maybe some of the confidential information can be passed on from A to B. Over and under communication, downward communication suffers from over or under communication. In over communication, supervisors talk too much and merely waste the time of his subordinates because the supervisor spends maximum time talking. Due to this, juniors are not respecting the seniors and there is indiscipline among the juniors. In undercommunication, the supervisor does not talk enough and leaves the subordinates to his guessing about what he wants them to do. This can prove to be quite futile because when we talk of the second one, the supervisor leaves it to the subordinates. That means it's a risk because no matter how much the wavelength is similar or the same, there will yet be differences of thought process on certain fronts. So in this case, if the supervisor does not talk enough, like if there's a project and the supervisor gives instructions as to how to go about it, what should be done, coming up with creative ideas, and then towards the end leaves it to the subordinates, maybe the completion will not be as the way he or she has expected it to be. Why? Because he then felt that my subordinates will handle it effectively towards the end. So the infancy stage and middle stage of the project worked fine, but the final stage may not be as per the expectation of the supervisor. Why? Because he left it to the subordinates to guess, and the subordinates did not guess in a manner whereby they felt the same as the supervisor. Different priorities. In downward communication, employees seek information about job security, salary, promotion, and other beneficial schemes. But the management prefers to pass down orders and directions only. It's a well-known fact. And when you talk of downward communication, what is really discussed with subordinates is orders and directions. Though employees always want to know what is happening as far as job security, salary, or promotion is concerned. The gap between the priorities leaves the employees and employers dissatisfied. Now, differences between downward and upward communication. Direction, downward. You're going down the steps. So top to bottom or superiors to subordinates. What is the direction here? workers to supervisors, managers, CEO. You're going from bottom to top. That is why upward, you're climbing up the steps. So you're climbing from the fourth step to the third step to the second step to the first step. So you're climbing up, right? So you're going in a manner whereby you know that it is ideally going from subordinate to top management, right? And when you talk of downward, fifth to fourth to third to second to first. So of course, upward would be fourth, third, second, first, right? That is why we talk of D, C, B, A. That is how it will be, okay? Now, nature, directive, authoritative, here, participative. Showing interest, participating, interacting, that is what is done. Subject, issuing orders, instructions, advice, provides feedback, opinions, suggestions, requests, and probably discussions with the superiors. Purpose, to communicate organizational goals, plans, procedures, instructions, policies, advice. To convey complaint, feedback, opinion, suggestions, requests. So that is the difference. Okay. So when we talk of differences between upward and downward, when you talk of application, of course, it is autocratic and authoritarian. Here it is democratic and participative, of course. Then distortion, little or no possibility when you talk of downward. Ideally, whatever is given in terms of instructions, orders from the person at top management, this should not be distortion of messages. Here, there are a lot of chances because here a lot of filtering and editing takes place. Frequent in performing organizational activities, less frequent. And on most occasions, when you talk of the usage, of course, we assume downward communication is used or utilized more than upward communication. Because here, it is only if it's permitted. That means only people at who are subordinates or at that level are required to express what they feel. Then ideally, upward communication can take place. Horizontal communication. When we talk of horizontal communication, communication between people of equal status or rank. So, marketing manager, production manager. Both are managers, but you talk of marketing manager and production. People of equal status or rank. Upward and downward communication flows generally follow the formal hierarchy within the organization. However, greater size and complexity of organizations increase the need for communication laterally or diagonally along the lines of formal chain of command. This is referred to as horizontal communication. These communications are informational too, but in a different way than downward and upward communication. Here, information is basically coordination to tie together activities within or across departments in the existing organizational system. So when you talk of coordination, problem-solving situations, discussion, all this is termed as horizontal communication. When you talk of horizontal communication, this communication among persons of same status is very important for coordination and planning. Managers need to meet at regular intervals to ensure that the organization's activities are in harmony. Requests, suggestions, advice are exchanged through horizontal communication. It serves seven specific objectives. Exchange of information is one. Data about activities, processes and the progress among head of departments is essential for the organization's work. This data is often conveyed through reports prepared by a department for use by the others. So when you talk ideally of data, it is conveyed through report. What is a report? You can say a formal communication report is prepared by subordinate to top management. It is submitted to top management. And when we talk of a report, ideally, it has data, details, facts, figures, statistics, right? So for the decline in the sales of goods. So ideally, we prepare a report that what is the reason for the decline in the sales of goods? Why did it happen? What can be done in terms of changes? What can be done to improve or increase the sales? So those aspects will be put forward. A daily sales report will convey to the store's and production the details of items needed to be ordered and produced. A purchase order advises stores details of materials that have been received and stored. But ideally, when you talk of communication between people of equal status or rank, exchange of information being one. Then you talk of discussions. Common problems and plans are discussed by the managers from different departments for arriving at an agreed solution for implementation. It also means that, say, for example, you're in the marketing department. You ideally cannot come up with an effective solution to resolve issues with your team. So you could discuss this issue with the production department, with the finance department. They probably would give you some sort of ideas, suggestions, some sort of information and ways and means to deal with this kind of solution, with this kind of situation effectively. Reviews of sales or production plans also call for such communication among related managers. Coordination. This is the most important objective of horizontal communication. Members meet periodically to discuss each department's contribution to the organization's goals and draw a plan of action. Members record progress and request assistance that may be required from elsewhere. This coordination contributes to continuous improvement in the organization. When we talk of horizontal communication, social and emotional support, peers working under the same roof quite often act as a friend, guide, and philosopher when any employee seeks moral support. It could very well be not relevant to the organization's official work and could be totally personal in nature, right? So when you talk of emotional support, it is also about how you feel about a certain situation. Why is that situation draining you? How are you going to be able to cope up with that kind of a situation? All those aspects. When we talk of 360 degree communication, there's also 360 degree feedback now in many organizations. That means anyone has the benefit or leverage to put forward what he or she feels about the other. This, in a way, can be effective. But this can also backfire because you're having the benefit or leverage to discuss what you feel about anybody and be open to express that. This communication is used by the Human Resource Department for employee assessment. In Human Resources Department or Industrial Psychology, a 360 degree feedback, also known as multi-rater feedback, multi-source feedback. That means feedback comes from any source. That's why they're saying multi-rater, multi-source. Or multi-source assessment. When you get feedback from various departments about a particular individual, which is not positive feedback, then ideally one needs to evaluate and assess, being the person at top management, as to what should be the next step. When we talk of multi-source or multi-source feedback, multi-source assessment, is feedback that comes from members of an employee's immediate work circle. So as we said, people from any department maybe or the immediate work circle. This can be an advantage as well as a disadvantage. An advantage because probably you get the leverage or benefit to express what you feel. Disadvantage is very often people may have that kind of vengeance towards you. People may have that kind of jealousy or because they've not got the promotion and you've got it. So it can backfire. 360 degree feedback will include direct feedback from an employee's subordinates, peers and supervisors, as well as self-evaluation. So we have it from all subordinates, peers, supervisors and self-evaluation. It can include in some cases feedback from external sources such as customers or suppliers. Okay, now when we talk of customers and suppliers, it means you're having feedback from a wide range of people. It may be contrasted with upward communication feedback, where managers are given feedback by their direct reports or a traditional performance appraisal. where the employees are most often reviewed by their managers. Now here, when you talk of 360 degree, that means it goes beyond the people within the organization. That's why I contrast it. Where, what is the case of downward communication? Where the employees are reviewed by the managers. So it's going downward. That means a manager is ideally assessing, reviewing, analyzing all about you as a subordinate. So ideally, when we talk of direction of downwards communication, we need to understand that it is extremely important that what is it in terms of person who, at top management to the subordinates. So when we talk of, say, traditional performance appraisal, why is it considered a form of downward communication? Because the people at top management will assess the employee's work, his abilities, skill, aptitude, attitude, and thus take decisions based on how effective he has been for the organization, his contribution in terms of success, his abilities and skill. The results from a 360 degree evaluation are often used by the person receiving the feedback to plan and map specific paths in their development. Results are used by some organization in making administrative decisions related to pay and promotions. So this again is linked to traditional performance appraisal. Now what happens from a 360 degree evaluation? You have been able to evaluate and assess an individual on all fronts. As we said just in the previous slide, that right from attitude, aptitude, emotional intelligence, all of it is looked into. Knowledge, skills, abilities, that means a combination of these aspects. All of them are given a weightage and then a decision is taken. When this is the case, the 360 degree assessment is for evaluation purposes. It is called 360 degree review. However, there is a great deal of controversy whether a 360 degree feedback should be exclusively for development purpose or should be used for appraisal purpose. Because when you talk of a 360 degree feedback for appraisal, feedback can also be highly negative since you're getting feedback from all the possible sources. However, due to rise of internet and ability to conduct evaluation online with surveys, multi-rater feedback used steadily increase in popularity. Today's studies suggest that over one-third of US companies use some type of multi-source feedback. That means from various angles the feedback comes to us. Others claim that this estimate is closer to 90% of all Fortune 500 firms, top 500 firms. In recent years, internet-based services have become standard in corporate development, with a growing menu of useful features, that is multi-language, comparative reporting and aggregate reporting. That means, you know, when you talk of 360 degree feedback, how ideally do we get to evaluating? Online with surveys, that means various ways for us to evaluate. Maybe years back, evaluation was very standardized, but now due to advance of technology, evaluation has various ways and means. So they're talking of comparative reporting where you compare or you take the aggregate, right? Say in last 5 years, you've got an appraisal 3 times. So you take an aggregate that in 5 years, you've got it 3 times. So you are comparing. So when we talk of 360 degree communication, it is also utilized in brainstorming sessions. When we discussed brainstorming before, coming up with creative ways and means in terms of thought process, being innovative with ideas, something exceptional in terms of what you wish to contribute to the organization to probably make it achieve more success. So here you talk of brainstorming sessions. Then you talk of list all possible solutions to resolve a problem or to bring in a specific improvement, analyze them, arrive at the best one for implementation, right? So out of all the options, we take the best option as a solution. The communication which follows established systems, rules, regulations or procedures or any other prescribed ways and means is known as formal communication. Formal communication is required for any organization, right, which goes in terms of being systematic. That means you follow rules, regulations, procedures. smooth communication. Lines of communication, whether upward or downward, they're well established. Employees know exactly how and where messages have to be forwarded. This eliminates any confusion in the sender's mind. Increase in efficiency. When you talk of such communication, which is, say, formal, it increases overall efficiency of the management as organizational rules and procedures are established and followed always. That means we always know this is a systematic way of communication. Whenever employees undertake any task, they have written down procedures available that provide them detailed instructions as to how the job is to be carried by them. Do's and don'ts included in the documentation encourages them to operate confidently and efficiently. Permanent record. All formal communication like letters, reports and memos are recorded and stored permanently for future reference. Memo, as we said, memorandum, form of communication within the organization. Report, logical presentation of data, facts, details. These records can be accessed for future decision making. The prime purpose is that you want to keep it so that your future decision making will be probably based on whatever records you have of the individual or the person who's employed in terms of the past records. Discipline. Formal communication creates discipline in the mind of employees in any organization. If there is any digression on part of an employee, the concerned supervisor can immediately establish it by referring to records with him or her. Digression, not really focusing on the task given, probably going off track and doing other things when those things are not meant to be given priority at that juncture. Less errors and mistakes. Formal communication requires careful preparation and sometimes approval before it is released. This initial effort brings in accuracy in communication and leaves no scope for errors or confusion. Coordination of work. Formal communication provides scope for coordination among various functions and departments of an organization as written data is available with each member for analysis and decision. The group works on the identical information which has been verified prior to its release. When you talk of reliability, formal communication is more credible and reliable for handling important issues like objectives, orders, directions. That's why it's termed as formal communication. The fact that it can be anytime retrieved and produced for discussion ensures that due care is exercised and veracity checked prior to its release. That means information is checked before it's actually put forward. Is it correct? Is it exaggerated? Is it hyped? Or is it appropriate information which has to be put forward? Consciousness of communication. Formal communication is performed in a conscious way by a sender. You have a preset agenda. You know what you wish to communicate. You know you cannot digress. You know you have to give certain facts, details, information available. He or she utilizes his or her merits, knowledge, and experience in such communication to make it a perfect one. As a result, it is more effective and success is increased. Because of its prescribed structure, formal communication attracts certain disadvantages which are mentioned below, enumerated below. Authoritarian system, definitely. Formal communication states clear relationship between upper level management and lower level management. When there is a downward communication, there's an authoritarian tone to dominate junior employees. This authoritarian tone emerges as more orders and instructions often come down than reports and feedback go up. Yes, most of the times it is said that managers spend 75% of the time communicating. So, more of it in terms of formal communication. Social matters are hardly mentioned. Complexity, it is worded in bureaucratic jargon with excessively cautious phraseology and as a result meaning routinely becomes obscure, right? You probably show so much degree of authority and so much of bureaucratic jargon. We've discussed jargons before, words or phrases meant for a particular group. Ideally, it was used by businessmen years ago. So ideally, more of being showing your, I would say in the simplest of words, your power. That means, okay, you're at this designation. You can say what you want. That's what they're trying to say. the whole objective of communication then is lost. Because it's always not only how you say it, it's also what you say. So what you say has to have a lot of depth and meaning. Inflexibility, it is a rigid form of communication with rules and regulations. It limits information within the department to what has been sanctioned by its head. This builds inflexibility into formal communication, and on many occasions when there are any changes to existing arrangements or some new data is created, they take long into getting incorporated as far as formal communication is concerned. When employees refer to formal communication, there are occasions when it does not reflect the reality on the shop floor. That means what is actually put forward to you. And when it comes in terms of reality, it doesn't really go ahead. That means we need to understand it's absolutely rigid and inflexible. That means if I put forward an idea to you, I'm putting it forward in terms of an idea, but can you literally implement the idea? That's when it comes directly on the shop floor. Are you able to implement it? That may be a very big challenge. So what's the point of giving such an idea, right? So summary, difference between formal in communication and informal, not the same as common, uncommon, we've discussed. Difference is in the register, which includes tone, vocabulary, syntax, is structuring of the sentence, grammatically, how we structure a sentence. Okay, when you talk of formal communication, rigid, it uses standard language in words, places higher importance in grammar and spelling, definitely, right? And is used mainly with non-peers, right? And people you do not know well. It is more likely to be needed in business, career, and educational institutions. Rules for language used in formal writing are quite strict. I guess when you talk of formal communication, it has to be very appropriate in terms of written communication. Every word and every sentence has to be effective. Formal writing is usually complex. Longer sentences are to be more prevalent in formal writing. You need to be as thorough as possible with your approach to each topic when you are using formal style. Each main point needs to be introduced, elaborated, concluded. Structure of communication in an organization exists in four communication networks. We've done this: wheel, chain, circle, all channel. We've discussed all of these. There is a larger formal network called organizational communication network, which represents communication within the hierarchical structure of the organization. Communication flows in all directions. Each direction has its unique applications, advantages, disadvantages. It moves horizontally, upwards, downwards, and even 360 degree round. So we talk of self-assessment questions like, how does formal communication differ from informal communication? List down major characteristics of formal communication, which we discussed. What are the advantages of upward communication? In what way downward communication has its limitations or disadvantages of downward communication? Do modern organizations use horizontal communication? Under what circumstances? For what reasons? We have completed chapter 5. Thank you.